good morning. It is so good to see you this morning. We've got a good crowd of folks with us this morning, and we are delighted to have you. We do have some visitors with us. We want to let you know that we welcome you, and we're happy to have you. We've had an uplifting service of our worship to God this morning thus far, and the way that we have honored Him and praised Him in song, the way that we've talked to Him in prayer and remembered the sacrifice that He has provided for us. And now the opportunity that we have to open up His Word and to study from. In 2 Peter chapter 1, where our reading was, we're going to spend almost all of our time there this morning, so you can keep your Bibles open there here in just a moment. If you're there with us and you've been with us for quite some time, we may be reading here from 2 Peter chapter 1, and you may be thinking, didn't you do like 1,000 sermons from this passage last year? I mean, you may have been thinking last year it was very much a part of our theme of the year to grow and to mature, and I did like 1,000 lessons from this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're not going to spend much time there. We're going to really spend our time this morning on what happens right after this passage. It's an important piece of text there in 2 Peter chapter 5, verses, or 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, that really talks about the maturation of a Christian, the growth that we take, the importance of doing so, the importance of being diligent to do that, to add these things, because that everlasting kingdom awaits. And all of that is important. It's important to study through that passage. But this morning, I want us to spend time considering what it is that Peter says next. What does he say right after this? Really well-known piece of text. Really important piece of text for our walk as Christians. I want us to spend our time there this morning. But before we get into that, I've got a question for you. If I were to ask you about your memory, how would you consider your memory? Would you say you have a good memory or a bad memory? I think for the most part, we would consider, most of us, maybe not all, but most of us would consider ourselves as having a bad memory. I mean, if we just went around, I think the numbers would bear that out. I don't know what the percentages would be, but I would guess it would be in the 70 to 80 percentile probably, that if we just ask that simple yes or no question, hey, that simple question, do you have a good or a bad memory? Most of us think, well, I don't have a great memory. I forget things. I forget things a lot. I forget simple things. I forget where I put my phone, or I forget where I put my keys, or I forget where I put my wallet. I forget my children's names, or I forget my children's birthdays, or I forget lots of silly things. So because of that, I don't have a great memory. You might be thinking, who forgets their children's names? We all do that. Those momentary forgetfulness. Have you ever? We've got three kids, and sometimes if I'm talking to one, I've got to go through all three of their names to get to the one that I really want to talk about. I'm sure you do that as well. And we convince ourselves then, I just don't have a very good memory. My mind isn't equipped to remember things. My mind isn't equipped to have things stored in there. I want to begin by telling you, your mind is actually equipped to store some things. And you may be surprised how many things. Scientists say that our mind is equipped to store as many as 600 memories. Not a day, not an hour, not a minute, but 600 memories per second. Our mind is equipped to store. And you might think, I mean, 600, that's a lot in 1 second. 600. 1,200. How many things do you got? Do you have 1,200 things? That's what our mind is equipped for that. We see people distribute and demonstrate amazing feats of memory. I flipped through the Guinness Book of World Records just with a mindset of thinking there's got to be some memory-based things in the Guinness Book of World Records, and there is. There's several categories for feats of memory in the Guinness Book of World Records, and one that caught my eye the most is there was a man by the name of Dominic O'Brien, and he's in the Guinness Book of World Records, and his world record is this. He took 54 packs of playing cards, shuffled up, That's 2,808 cards. 54 packs shuffled up, and in a single setting, memorized the order of those cards. It took them 11 hours and 20 minutes to sit and to put those things into his mind. And then it took him 3 hours and 42 minutes to recite them from the beginning to the end. 2,808 playing cards memorized in one sitting. That's unbelievable. I don't know if I could do that with 28 or 8 cards in a sitting, right? I mean, it's unbelievable sometimes what our mind is equipped to do. But yet, we struggle sometimes with those things. We struggle with remembering things. We struggle with remembering important things even sometimes. And I think that God understands that. And that's why it is throughout Scripture, from the Old Testament, the New Testament, we even talked about one such of those things even this morning at the Lord's table. From the book of Joshua, when it is that God makes a way to help us remember. He makes a plan to help us remember something important by setting up a memorial. The memorial of remembering his sacrifice is provided for us, set in place by God to help us remember this all-important thing. And it is over and over and over in Scripture that we are directed to remember something or to be reminded of something. To pound something, if you will, into our mind. Because isn't that what really being reminded of turns into sometimes? Where it feels like it's just being pounded in and pounded in and pounded in because of how important it is to be in there. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, we have one such instance where Peter delivers to us this incredible list of virtues, where he says, listen, I want you, based upon your faith, to add to that knowledge and to add to that self-control. And he goes on to add all of these things. And he says you need to be diligent to do that. If you do those things, you're not going to stumble. If you do those things, there will be an entrance supplied to you into the everlasting kingdom. That's pretty important. So much so that Peter tells us to remember it. I want you to pick up where it was left off in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. You know, sometimes we stop there in verse 11 because it's such an incredible passage to us. And it's one that we're familiar with. But to me, it's incredible where Peter goes next. What he tells his readers and all of us, really with reference to what he's just talked about. I want you to count the amount of times that he tells them to remember, to be reminded of something. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 12 down to verse 15, he says that, therefore I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. In this just few short verses, over and over and over, I'm reminding you of something. I want you to remember this. I want you to not forget this. I'm reminding you of this thing. If you didn't catch it that last verse, I'm going to give it to you again. You need to remember this. Over and over and over and over again. And it is these few verses that I think there are a couple of interesting things that pop out that I think are important for us, certainly by way of application for us this morning, when it comes to us remembering or being reminded of God's truth. In this very first verse, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, you have a couple of things, very simple, very basic, but all important lesson about remembering God's truth. And so the first is this. We've got to remember what we know. In the couple of verses that we've made mention of preceding this one, he talks about the importance of putting God's truth into practice. And in doing so, it leads to that everlasting kingdom. And so Peter, he's willing to remind them about that. And then he's willing to remind them again about that. And then he's willing to remind them again about that over and over and over. And so we think about that. And he says, listen, I'm not going to be negligent to remind you always of these things. So the question for us, and maybe even for them, is something like this. Why is it that we need this constant reinforcement? Why do we need that? Well, why do we need this constant reinforcement? Why did Peter think that these brethren and all of us, that we need this, that we need to be reminded of this? I mean, you just said it, Peter. Why do I need to be reminded of it? And then why would I need to then be reminded of it again? It's really important stuff. And then why would I need to be reminded of it again? Why would I ever forget that? Why would I ever forget about the importance that my faith plays? Why would I ever forget the importance of knowledge and self-control? Why would I ever forget the importance of perseverance? Why would I ever forget the things that leads to the everlasting kingdom? Well, why would I ever forget those things? Well, why do I need to be reminded of those kinds of things? I would never forget that. But yet we do. We need this constant reinforcement. And I think we need this constant reinforcement because of where we are, where we preside, if you will. You know, oftentimes the life of a Christian is kind of described as swimming against the tide. Well, you got everything and every fish going one way, and as a Christian, we're going in a different way. We're living a different way. We're acting a different way. We're speaking a different way. We're dressing a different way. We're behaving a different way. We're living a different way. We're going in a different direction than everybody else is going. And when we're swimming against the tide and we're swimming against all of the distractions and all of the things that are going the one way and we're trying to go in a different way, I think the reason that we need constant reinforcement is when that takes place, we sometimes have leaks within us. We sometimes have those moments where it's like, I don't know if I want to be going in the different way as everyone else. I don't know if I want to be putting forth the energy that it takes to swim in a different way. I don't really know if I want to put up with the difference that it makes me look if I'm going in a different direction. I don't know if I want to do that anymore. And when we begin to get those thoughts and we begin to have those ideas put into our mind, or maybe we start to dwell on those things. And then we remember. Or then we're reminded of who we are. We remember who Christ is. We're reminded of what Jesus has done for us. We remember who we're called to be. We're reminded of where we're going. You see, those thoughts of remembrance and those moments of when we are reminded, help center us again in the world that we live in. You know, I think it's interesting here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12 that Peter says, I'm going to remind you of these things even though you know them. You know, sometimes it's that thought that we're like, well, I don't need to be reminded that 2 plus 2 is 4. I don't need to be retaught that. I know 2 plus 2 is 4. I don't need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we think, I don't need to be reminded of things that I know. That's not what God says. God says we need to be reminded of things that we know. He says, I'm going to not be negligent to remind you always of these things, even though you know them. You know, the easy application of that is when you are studying through your Bible and you get to a passage that you're familiar with and you just skip over it because you know this story. Or a preacher like myself gets up and is about to deliver what I'm sure is going to be a fantastic lesson on David and Goliath, and you say, I mean, I know all about that story, and your mind switches to something else to focus in on. You see, sometimes we play that game. I've heard this before. I know about this. I'm familiar with this story. I'm familiar with this thought. I'm familiar with this point. I know all of these things before. Peter says, we need to be reminded of even things that we know. The point is, it's not anything new. It wasn't for them, and it certainly isn't for us. It's not anything new. It's not a new truth. But the need just to let it take a hold in our hearts. I mean, has there ever been a time where you read through a story that you know, a story that you're familiar with, a piece of text that you are intimately familiar with, but because of the circumstance or because of the situation that you find yourself in, it just sings to you in a different way or a stronger way? D. Bowman once told me several years ago when we were talking about traditional kinds of things, and he was kind of going on a little bit about that. He made this point that kind of stuck into my mind about his preaching, and I was talking to him about, you know, those things of putting lessons together and coming up with ideas, and how do you do that? I mean, how do you come up with an idea every week, and, you know, how hard is that? And, you know, I was talking about all of those things, and he told me this. He goes, if it is the truth, it isn't anything new. Put that in your mind. But if it is something new, it isn't the truth. And, you know, I thought about that for a second, and he's exactly right about that. We live in a religious landscape and a religious culture today that is delivering lots of new things. A new way to think about God, a new way to make God happy, a new way to worship God, a new way to serve God, a new way to do all of these things. And I'm not arguing with the fact that those are new things. But just because it's new doesn't make it the truth. And usually the case, if it is new, it isn't the truth. Because the truth is something that we've had right here for a long time, and it's never changed, or it's never altered, or it's never been added to, or it's never been taken from. But it is that thing that we need to be constantly reminded. Why is that? Well, he goes on to make the point that it is because we need to be stirred up. You know, you think about the fact that there may be lots of people that have heard the truth and lots of people that have even been established in the truth, but yet not stirred by it. And he says, listen, I think it's right as long as I'm in this tent to stir you up by reminding you. And the point is that we need to remember of the importance of what it is that we believe. We need to be stirred up by it. We need to come to grips with the reality of it. Not just the knowledge of it, but to come to grips with the reality of it. To be affected by the truth. To be stirred up by the truth. To be stirred up by what we see. To have it, maybe the best way to say it, to have it have an impact on the way that I live. Does God's truth really have an impact on the way that you live? Or do you just know a lot about it? I want you to think about that for a second. Your very quick initial reaction is going to be, yeah, it has a huge impact on my life. But I want you to really think about that. Does God's truth have an impact on your life, or do you just know what it says? Oh, those are two very different things. And it's not about just knowing what it says. It is about being stirred by it. Be impacted by it. I want you to hold your finger in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to come back to that. But I want you very quickly to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me. There's an interesting thing that takes place in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is an interesting passage because it is the culmination of the people of Israel wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, getting themselves ready to go into the promised land, but yet they've not done a whole lot. They've gone through a lot of turmoil, through a lot of difficulty. They've just been wandering around for decades. And they are tired and they are stretched. They are bewildered and they are bothered. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 1 through verse 3, listen to what God says specifically to them. He says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, to go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." I want you to think about what's being talked about right here and what Moses says to the people with God, certainly what God says through Moses. He says, listen, what does he say first? He says, I want you to be careful to follow every command that God gives. I want you to be careful to follow everything that God says. I want you to listen very carefully to him. And then take notice of verse 2. What is the very first thing that he says? Do not forget. You remember that the Lord led you. You remember what the Lord did for you. You were hungry and the Lord fed you. You didn't know where you were going and the Lord led you to where you needed to be. He has this people and he says, I want you to observe and be careful to listen and to follow everything that God says. And then the very first thing he says after that, you remember what God has done for you. You remember him in every way. And you have a people that's struggling and a people that may be down and low. And they're reminded to not forget God. And so for us, the application is, when in this life that we may feel tired or we may feel stretched out or we feel beaten down, the one thing we have to do is remember God and not forget. But what about those of us that are feeling great? I mean, what about, maybe you're there and I'm like, I'm not feeling tired at all. I feel great. I'm not feeling all bothered. I'm not feeling stretched out. I feel fantastic. Things are going fantastic for me. Well, you may be in that spot. But I want you to go down a little deeper into Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 10, and listen to what's said. In that same context, in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. And then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Moses goes on to say, you're going to find yourself in a position where everything is going great. And the temptation is going to be to then forget God. And what are they reminded here? Even in those moments of increase, don't slip away when prosperity increases you remember God. You allow Him and what He has done and what He has said to stir you up. And then finally, back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. The point that Peter says is that we have to stay engaged and focused. Again, 2 Peter 1, 14 and 15, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. I want you to think, what was it that engaged Peter? What was it that focused him so intently? The easy answer to that is, he knew his time on earth was nearly done. And because he was able to put that into his mind, because he was able to think in that way, it so focused him on what God had to say. I want you to think just for a moment. What would you be doing differently if you knew that your departure from this earth was near, was really close? What would you do differently? Would you do anything differently? Would you handle yourself differently if you knew that your departure from this world was at hand? Would you speak differently? Would you treat people differently? Would you go to different places or do different things? What more would you do? What would you add? What would you take away? You know, it's one of those questions that we often try to ponder, but it's difficult to do so. And it's difficult to do so because, for the most part, a lot of us have convinced ourselves that, listen, it's not at hand. It's not near. I've got a lot of time left. Well, how many times and in how many different ways, from what God has said to the world around us, do we need to be reminded that we don't? How many different times does God have to say in His Word, your time here is short? Make the most of it. How many times do we have to be reminded in our society when accidents take place and from the smallest to the oldest of us are taken away? How many times do we have to be reminded when someone falls gravely ill and slip away very quickly? How many times do we have to be reminded that our time here is short? How many times do we have to be reminded that our end is near? How many times? You see, Peter was working off of the idea, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. And that is the mindset all of us should have. And when we're able to hold on to that mindset instead of the one that says, listen, I'll take care of that later because I've got all the time in the world. If we can hold fast to this mindset that we see here from Peter, and it helps us engage and it helps us focus, you know, what really matters, and that is the truth of God and in His Word. It's important that we be reminded of these things. For Peter, as he shared them with his readers here, and for us this morning as we've had the opportunity to open up 2 Peter chapter 1 and study from it. And the question then becomes, what do we do with this passage? Well, I've got to answer that for me, and ultimately you've got to answer that for you. What do I do with these kinds of thoughts that I receive from Peter? What do I do with this kind of thought about how important it is to remember God and what He has done? Well, Kevin's going to lead us in a song of invitation, and I'll tell you, there's no better time to start to consider those things than right then. When we sing the song of invitation, I would encourage each and every one of us to begin to remember what God has done, to remember who God is, to remember the sacrifice that has been paid, to think about the end is near, and then to take advantage of this opportunity. It may be that you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's body. You've not been baptized into Christ. You haven't had your sins washed away. There's no better opportunity than right now, because the end is near. Because Christ has sacrificed himself. He has made this incredible opportunity available. Let's not let it slip by. Or maybe you have just lived your life as if there's all the time in the world. And because of that, you've allowed yourself to fill up with leaks as you've been going one way. And maybe you have turned completely and you've just started swimming with everybody else. Let's do something about that today as well. Maybe we can help with any of those things. If we can, you let us know as we stand and sing.